Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with life coach Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, January the 10th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time, and wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we're happy because we have a special guest joining us today that Linda brought along. And Linda, you know Harold a lot better than I do, so I'm going to let you have the honors. Tell us who our guest is today.
All right, sure. I'll do a brief little intro, but Harold will just speak for himself.
Okay.
Harold's a fun guy to listen to. Anyway, this is Chief Harold Peck that you'll be meeting in a second. He's recently retired 26-plus year U.S. Army warrant officer. He's a regular dude who loves creating and living fully. He also happens to be an online motivator, public speaker, transformational and resiliency coach, and a whole life. A whole energy entrepreneur. So after many recent battles with loss, addiction, physical and emotional challenges, which I'm sure he'll tap on a little bit today, Harold is committed now to being a lifelong learner and moving forward and up. That's his motto, forward and up. So Chief Peck is on a personal message to energize, empower others to create a fit, fun, and joyful life. So, yeah, and he's full of energy and, Harold, we'll just say hello to you. Say hi to everybody, and we'll maybe you want to just add a little bit to that, or just get it us rolling onto how you came to want to do all of this.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you very much, Linda, for that intro, and hi, Walt. Good to be on your show. Thank you very much for having me. I came up with that because all of that came through personal experience. The energy part that you noticed kept getting mentioned in there, and that's actually how I know Linda, was just the simple fact that just a few years ago I had zero energy, actual physical energy, and could hardly move. I am actually 100% disabled veteran. I was medically retired. And when I got out of the Army a couple years ago, 2017, well, it's been 3 years now, exactly 3 years actually, that was actually one of the hardest of many losses that I had experienced. And by the time that I had gotten out of the United States Army after, like Linda said, it was close to almost 28 years, I was literally broke and could not move hardly at all. And so a lot of what she's talking about there, helping others create fun, joyful lives, fit joyful lives, all comes from experience because I wasn't experiencing any of those things myself. I definitely wasn't having fun, and I was not very fit at all. And I sure as heck could not find any joy, or at least I was looking for joy, if you know what I mean. And it was in me all along, just didn't see it at the time. So,
well, good for you for finding it, first of all, because not everybody does. That's a big deal, and you deserve the pat on the back for that. And second of all, on behalf of Americans everywhere, thank you for your service, because we really appreciate that. And
thanks, sir.
And then third, congratulations on the turnaround. I mean, that's a big turnaround. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it was a big turnaround. I don't think I had everything to do with it, as Linda already knows. Sometimes weird things happen or unexplained things happen, and in life, there's these big pivot points. If you look back on your own, I'm sure you can see some pretty big pivot points in your own life. And I'm sure with Linda too. And in my experience, that later that year, 2017, around the time of that full eclipse that we had, if you remember, a couple of years ago, it was on the East Coast here too. It was awesome. It was really nice. And I remember going.
We lost your audio.
Your audio just disappeared, Harold.
Hold on, Harold. We lost your audio.
We lost your audio. We can't hear you.
He's telling such a great story. And we can't
I know.
Hear you. Let's
did
see.
It cut out?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yes.
You're going to have to start over because we missed everything you just said.
Oh, really?
You were talking about the full moon eclipse.
The full moon eclipse. It was about the time of the full moon eclipse, 2017. I had I wouldn't call it an outer body experience. I would just call it a very strange experience.
I would call it a divine intervention.
Oh.
Divine intervention. Absolutely. It was definitely something. It definitely.
Uh-oh. There it goes again.
Did we lose? We lost you again, Harold.
Hey, Harold.
We lost your audio.
I think I'm going to block the video and see if that helps the audio to come through, because that can sometimes happen. So let's see if we can reconnect your audio there. Can you try the audio again? I don't know what you're doing, if you're doing anything at your end.
He would be speaking.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
There you
now
are.
Now we can hear you.
I don't know what's going on. I did my test on my Wi-Fi. It's very strong. I don't know why it's happening.
Well, let's see what happens. Okay. Maybe turning the video off will cut down the amount of bandwidth used and you won't have as much problems. So let's see.
But I want to see Harold when he speaks.
I do too. Let's see if it makes a difference. If it doesn't, I'll switch back to putting the video on.
Uh-oh. Yep, I think we just lost him. He's going to come back in. He's going to dial back in, because it'd be good if we see him with the video. So I'll just fill in a little bit. When Harold first told me this story that happened to him, I don't think he fully grasped what really happened to him.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, very often we don't. When stuff happens, we don't get it.
Yeah. So.
All right. How about now? I just disconnected, reconnected. See if we
okay. Harold, okay. I was saying that when you told me about this experience you had, I don't think you fully understood the gravity of this experience you had. So I'll leave you to explain it.
Okay, well, this is going to sound weird, but I'm just going to say it like it is. So when 2017 came around, I was really at a very, very, very low point in my life. I had already been for almost 2 years straight, spending the best of almost every day, I hate to say researching, but really researching how to kill myself. I know that sounds kind of bizarre to the average human being, but I do have family. I've got kids and stuff like that, so I wanted to get off Earth, but I kept researching, like how to kill myself without people finding out, how to kill myself without hurting, things like that. And it's kind of a sad way to live. It's a very sad way to live. And I lived like that for a long time. So on this particular Saturday, it was a Saturday, I remember that, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. I was going into a closet in my house up in Central Florida. I still lived up there. I just got out of the Army. And I was going to go into the closet to do something that I had done countless times before. And I was going to listen to some particular sad song that, just seemed to resonate with everything that I was feeling. And in this day, I was picking a Johnny Cash song, Hurt. In fact, it was a song called Hurt. And I was going to go in the closet and put the gun in my mouth. Now, I really had no intentions on killing myself. I had put the gun in my mouth many, many times before without the intention of killing myself. I know that sounds kind of weird if you've never messed with it, but it just felt right. I did it quite a bit. I'd cry, I'd have the gun in my mouth or whatever. And this day was actually supposed to be no different. So I went in the closet. I was going to do my thing. Nobody was around. I was just going to listen to that song and mope and, ask God why the hell I lost everything in my life. Leading up to that point, just a few years before, I was really vibrant, full of health, doing good. But I had shoved a lot of stuff down in. I had deployed 5 times in the Army over to Iraq during the course of those years. So I was having issues before, but I wasn't dealing with them, of course, especially when I was in the military as a leader. And not that I wasn't afforded the opportunity. I just really didn't want to look weak, if you know what I mean.
Which I imagine is fairly common. I would think that that's a normal response for most people.
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is, Walt. And, I made sure my guys were always taken care of, but I shoved a lot of my stuff down inside, and it just built up over time. And in 2014, my life really – and I always feel like God put me in a Yahtzee cup. He's like, all right, brother, I'm going to take you for the ride. you think you got it all figured out. I'm going to put you through some rolls here. And it was just one thing after another. I got a divorce after almost a quarter of a century, to a girl I basically know my whole life. And then, that happened out of the blue. And I won't get into that. That itself was pretty crazy. But how that happened. And then my body itself started getting a lot of hernias, incisional hernias for some prior surgeries, and just falling apart from wear and tear, especially my digestive system from being downrange, the crud they call it, just being around all that pollution and garbage. A lot of us over there got digestive issues. And at this time, I wasn't even able to hold my own bathroom, if you know what I mean. So I was in a very low place at this point in my life anyway. I couldn't take it in. I was in pain constantly, very weak. I was getting out of shape. And it was one thing after another. And then after I lost my wife, like I said, it was the day after my birthday in 2016. I finally reconnected with my mom, and she was helping me get through it. And she died the day after my birthday in 2016. And so it was I had a really rough birthday 2014 when I found the text that started this whole thing. 2015, I got a divorce. 2016, my mom died just when I connected with her. It's just a bunch of weird things going on. And then to top it all off, I found out that the Army was like, hey, Chief, you made a good run, brother, but you're falling apart at the seams, man. You're going to have to go. And if you know, I was becoming non-deployable, which mostly because of my stomach and behavioral health, all kinds of things, really. And, you know, when you're not deployable in the Army, what's the point, right? So that's really why we joined the military. So with all my time in, it was time to get out anyway. And in my head, I was like, I'm going to come down to Florida and start a real estate company and just drink pina coladas on the beach and everything will be great. You know, I'll come down here and just sweep that shit under the rug. And it really did not work out that way. January 2017, when I came down here, I realized that the military was going to be actually one of my biggest losses. And, you receive purpose, direction, motivation for that many years from higher, giving you your missions and what to do and when to use the bathroom and everything else. That's not that bad, but and then you get out and stop. My goodness. So for the first time in my life, I really felt what veterans go through when they get out of the military, you know, regardless of how long they serve. I did feel chewed up and spit out. And I felt alone. You know, the VA was trying to help me. And to top it all off, though, Walt, what happened was all those medicines I was on, I knew I couldn't be on them for the rest of my life, right? So I started detoxing off of those pills one at a time. And that in itself, I wouldn't wish upon the devil. But when I had to go through some rehab and get off a lot of this, just opioids mostly and benzos and stuff, like, when I came off them, I forgot the whole reason I went on them. I'm like, I'll come down to Florida. I'll go to the beach. I'll get off the medicine. I'll start a real estate company. Everything will be great. Well, it couldn't have been further from the truth. I got down here. Real estate wasn't working because I just wasn't feeling fulfilled from it. Really, I was just lowballing people and just wasn't feeling it. And as I started peeling off the medicines, well, then I realized why I took them in the first place, pain and all the shit that I was covering up. So,
right.
Uh-oh. Oh, we lost you again, Harold. We lost
you. No microphone.
I don't know what that is, but hopefully he'll come back again.
You still see him. He's still there.
I've done Zoom with Harold before and never had any problems. So I don't know if there's something maybe in his area where the signal is a little weaker than,
I don't know,
than normal.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not
so when he comes on, he didn't mention, but maybe he's going to mention still, that he had a son that passed away.
Oh, boy. It was one thing after another then.
Yeah. Harold.
Oh, here he comes. Yeah, yes. You're good.
Yeah, I bet you it's the environment. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Harold, I did mention while you were off that you also had a child that passed.
Yes, I did. And I'll get to him in a minute because I do want to highlight a point that the order of these events were critical. Because can you guys still hear me? Because you're frozen.
Yep.
Yes.
The order of these events, I'm actually pretty fortunate it worked out this way. I didn't even realize it till later. But actually, a lot of things I didn't realize till later. But
It's always that way.
The day of the closet, I just went in there like I always was going to do. I, you know, laid down and Johnny Cash was with me on the phone and stuff to listen to music. And I had no intentions of lock and loading the gun. I would never do that. So a lot of weird things happened this day, and I'll just speed through them really quick. But in a nutshell, I guess the craziest thing to happen was, you know, it was in my mouth just like usual. And that's a very painful position to be in, and the iron actually hurts your teeth. when it's in your mouth. The gun had to be sucked.
Oh, no.
Not again.
Harold, we lost you again. We lost you. Yeah, we lost him again. Oh, boy. I don't want to tell the story from him because I might mess it up, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, well, we want to hear it in his own voice.
We'll get him.
You want me to call back with my phone?
Oh, we got you. You're good now. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I could try with a cell phone connection. You know, maybe the Wi-Fi is getting beat up out there. But can you hear me now?
I know we want to keep the video, but I'm telling you, video eats up a lot of bandwidth. Let's try it without the video, and let's see if we can hang on to the signal that way.
Okay. Yeah, all right, good. All right.
Yeah. Okay, so I've stopped the video. So go ahead and try again.
Yeah, so Harold, you were saying the events, the way they all led up to it, is what made it was very significant.
Yeah, that's what made it very significant was the fact that it was just a typical day. I had done this many, many times. But when I went in there today, this was going to be the pivot point that I was talking about. Because what ended up happening was while I was in the closet, something very, very strange happened, like Linda said. Now, I didn't know what was going on at first. I thought maybe it was the detoxing with the medicine, and who knows, it might have had something to do with that at first. Can you still hear me? I'm nervous now that I'm talking
to
the wind.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. But in that moment when I had the gun in my mouth, I remember I was crying just like I always was, you know, feeling sorry for myself, like, you know, God, what the hell is the point of going on anymore? I want to get off this planet, but I don't want my kids to find me like this. I don't want to be a big mess in the closet. I knew how it would look. I didn't want to go out that way, definitely not with a gun, right? It was just something I was doing. And on that day, when that happened, the room itself started getting really, really warm, the closet. And it was almost like I became the room itself. It got really, really bright in there, and I felt almost like I was the room, almost like liquefied, if you will, like I was one with the room. It got very, very bright. It got really loud, like a paper sound. It's kind of hard to explain. And then the weirdest thing of all happened. It was bright, and I noticed some things moving.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, Harold.
No.
Now we can't hear him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. So when we get him back, he noticed things moving is where what we last heard.
Right.
Yeah. Harold, there we go. He's going to come back in.
Reconnecting, yeah.
Yeah. You know what, guys? It's worth the wait because it really was a divine intervention. So he said he was feeling, he totally became just his soul. Like he was every single, because we are, that's what we are. We are the universe. We are every single particle of everything all around us. But we don't always know what that is. So Harold had the experience of feeling himself as the everything.
Yeah.
Like, Harold, I believe you were just your soul self coming to you at that moment.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, we lost him again. There he is. He's back.
Hold on. We just lost your audio there.
We can't hear you again, Harold. Can't hear you. Oh, no.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, so you were talking about you thought it was a formula, and then you cut out. Oh, no. Harold, we lost you. Harold, we lost you. We can't hear you again. We lost you. Come back. Okay, you ready? Well, one. We're gonna count to three. Two. There, Essie. Harold, we lost you at the weirdest thing. Can you help? Yeah, we lost you at what was the weirdest thing.
But let me interrupt for a second. I just want to ask one question. I know you're on Wi-Fi. How close are you to your modem? Okay.
That's the best. It's the weather.
Yeah.
Well, let's try to finish this part of the story, and then maybe we'll do that for the rest of it. So you noticed something with the gun. I know that's what you were going to say, but uh-oh, we lost him. And it was on fire. We lost him. We lost you. Yeah, call in with the phone. Let's try that. We'll try that, calling in with the phone.
Okay. Looks like he's going to go do that.
Yeah. So you notice how he's, like, sleeveless? Walt and I are freezing over here in New York, in Connecticut. And well, Harold's he's having the most humidest day with storms and everything around him, but he's in a tank top just being chill, you know?
Well, he's where Louise and I are going in about a week, actually. We're flying a week from today down to Florida. So I'm hoping that the storm that they're experiencing moves all the humidity out of the way so we can have a nice dry week while we're there. But that's okay.
You know what I just thought of?
What's that?
I wonder if he's going to try and use that link with Zoom on his phone or if he needs the call-in number.
I hope he uses the link because it's a lot easier that way.
Okay. All right. That's all he has. There we go. Look, see? Happy picture. Harold, we see your picture. Can you hear us?
We don't have his mic in there yet.
Okay.
Here comes the mic.
He's getting there. We'll count to three again. Oh, look at that. Oh, perfect. But we just can't hear you. Got to put your audio on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. It's crisp. Before, you were all fuzzy.
A better picture, yeah.
So, you didn't get to say it was on fire.
Let's go. We've been through a few skips here. Let's jump back to you. Just the crazy light went away, and what happened from that point on?
Yeah, I obviously didn't know what it was, and at the time, I didn't even know how to get out of it. I thought maybe I was already dead. I didn't know what happened. But do you remember the old screensavers on Windows that used to have a star field flying towards you? Probably remember that back in the day. Well, now this scene kind of is going to turn like that. I only use that to try to give you a visualization because most people know what that means unless you were just born or something. But when it started coming towards me, you know, now I'm like, all right, what the hell is going on here? You know, I'm not thinking that, but I am definitely intrigued at this point. And at first I didn't know what they were, maybe things. And then I noticed they were letters, like just a bunch of letters scrambled, and didn't think much of that because it was happening so fast. And the letters started making sense to me. And the only ones I could get out at first was E and a R and a O, but it wasn't in that order. It took a while. And at first I was trying to figure out, was it saying hero, zero? You know, I didn't know what was going on. And then I realized it was actually a formula that was flying at me in different ways. And it was basically saying E plus R equals O, which I'll just go ahead and explain. If you don't know what that means, it means event plus response equals outcome. Now, at the time, I had no idea what it meant. I didn't know if it was an algebraic equation I was supposed to solve to get to heaven or something. But, you know, YouTube and find somebody that was saying something good. So, yeah, so I thought it was I figured out it was a formula. And all I remember is like, dude, get up and Google that shit. You need to get up and find out what that is. Get the gun out of your mouth. Get just a very strong, like, gut feeling. Get up and see what that means. And I was like, well, I'm a very curious guy anyway. So I went to get up to do that. You know, my eyes were really watery and stuff. The thing had stopped doing what it was doing. And I came back to the room. And that's when I almost shit my pants because what happened next is the weirdest thing. It doesn't make any sense.
How about now? Okay. Everything good now? We got a sound check. I apologize, guys. I don't know what's going on. About it. Well, I noticed that the gun was loaded. Now, like I said before, this gun, one, nobody had access to it because it's in a safe. But two, I never lock and load to put in my mouth. And so I knew what was loaded in this gun. So this made it particularly scary. And I'll get to that here in a second. So when I noticed that top piece was sticking up, I was like, well, it's probably not on fire. At least it's not that. So when I rotated it, that's when I was really like, all right, what the hell is this? Both indicators were on red. And when both indicators on red, you know, whatever it's aimed at will be dead. And inside that magazine, unfortunately, were hollow point bullets also. So it, you know, because it's a defense gun for around my house. I mean, it's not, you know, I wouldn't have been one of those good news stories, a guy on stage missing half my head. It would have all been gone. So that scared the bee, you know what, out of me. And I did about the dumbest thing you could possibly do, Walt, and that is I threw it. Because it just, yeah. So, yeah, I know, real. I'm not exactly a gun safety officer of the year for that one, but
you know, I mean, imagine it's in my mouth. I know it's not locked and loaded. And I just threw it like it was a hot potato. And it hit the wall behind the closet door. It's a big walk-in closet. And I still got the dent. I've got all the pictures and everything. It's pretty crazy. But it hit the back of the gun. So I'm really, really fortunate on so many levels that it did not fire. But I didn't care about the gun at that point. I went up, got to the computer. And when I did get to the computer, I started noting, I found out what ERO was. And it just, like I said before, it took a while for it all to come together. I really just figured out at that point. Everything I was pissed off about and mad about for so long, I was pointing to other people. I was blaming everybody, the VA, the Army, Iraq, politicians, my wife, my mom. I did not have a very good childhood growing up, so I blamed that quite a bit. I was just pretty much blaming everything. And the principle behind ERO is it gives the power of the response back to the owner. So in other words, I've spent most of my life at this point blaming my outcome or the way that I was feeling, like a lot of people do, in fact, on the events. Well, I'm like this because this happened. I'm this way because I was raped. And when I saw, I Googled around and I saw that it was Jack Canfield, the Chicken Soup for the Soul author. I saw him on YouTube. And probably, I'm looking back on, I probably had seen that somewhere before and it stuck back in there somewhere. I don't know how it got in my head, but it got in there and it got me up off that floor. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because from that moment forward, I just felt like I felt like I got a second chance. Okay, how did that happen? I remember pacing back and forth when I went in the closets, like, how did that happen? You know, how did that happen? And I still to this day don't know. There's really nothing to point to. Nobody stuck their hands in a safe. So I don't know it doesn't matter how it happened, but it got me off of that floor. And that little moment right there, really from that moment forward, I'm not telling you that it got easy overnight. It most certainly didn't. But like Linda was mentioned earlier, I had a son pass. He's a 29-year-old. He made a bad decision. November of 2017. This event was around September. It was around the eclipse time frame of 2017. And I didn't even realize it until later that if it had occurred the other way around, in other words, my son, if he would have died before the closet scene, in other words, I don't think I'd be here talking to you right now. I could not take another blow to the belly. And I didn't even realize that till later. I was like, well, that is very powerful that it happened that way. Because in that 30 to 60 days before he died, I started like big time doing all kinds of things in the morning, like Tony Robbins, Hour of Power. I started a gratitude exercise where I did gratitude while brushing my teeth in the morning. So, you know, none of these things were easy at first. First thing I thought about gratitude, I'm like, there's nothing to be grateful for. I can't think of anything to be grateful for, right? But I did. I get to that later, but I finally latched on to gratitude, started finding one thing a day to be happy about. I used to walk around the loop. I'd get up every morning real early. I'm used to getting up early anyway. And I did what Tony Robbins said and these other people, Jack Canfield, anybody that said anything good on YouTube, I listened to them. And it didn't matter who they were. I was just trying to feed my head good. I had to do something. I was in such a low place. You know, I'd go around the loop where I lived every morning, every day, every way, feeling better and better. Yes, because that's one of the exercises. And I'm like, I don't feel better, dude. I feel like crap. What are you talking about? And, you know, it took days of doing that. And then I did start feeling better. It was weird, just a little bit. And because of that, when I got the news of my son, and it was a rough period, obviously, anyway, it took a few days for him to die. His brain swelled up. So it took a few days for him to end up dying. During that time, you know, did I get tempted to start getting back on pills or pull the plug again? Absolutely. I most certainly did. I'm like, that's enough, man. I don't know what the hell is going on. But that ERO stuck into my head again. And I It's like, this is an event, albeit a very crappy one. I can do something with this. I can do something with it. And that's how, that's what ended up happening over the course of time, was after Corey's death and my mom's death, and of course the veterans that I've, or the people that I've known in the military, you know, during all those deployments and stuff, that's when I realized that all these things that had happened to me, I was able to turn around. It took time. And since I was able to turn around, all these tools that were out there that helped me turn around, I realized that a lot of them are not out there, or they're just not easily accessible for veterans and military and stuff like that. It's kind of really structured. It's nothing really informal, kind of like what I do is keep things very simple. And that's why I decided to give back. And I'm like, I know I cannot be the only veteran, or it doesn't even matter if you're a veteran. Other people go through PTSD and things too. And I can't be, you know, the only one to have gone through X, Y, and Z. But I did get through it. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't just get through it. I came out the other side 10 times better. And if you told me just a few years ago that I'm glad everything happened up to that closet scene just the way that it did, I would think I'm talking to another human being right now. But actually, everything that I look at now, I see, like Linda was saying, that's what led to this point, and that's what led to what's getting ready to happen and everything. With this is, I can feel the momentum shifting. And I believe a lot of veterans and military out there, just in particular, are excited to see somebody besides this Department of Defense type of very dry info type commercial stuff, you know, like if you're suicidal, go do this. If you're this, go do now. And so I can relate to that.
So obviously. I just want to interject a little bit, because I want to make sure people get this, that there are no coincidences. It was total intervention on a cosmic level, put it that way, because, you know, I mean, how did those particular bullets get there? Why was the gun ready to go? You know, what was everything coming at you? What were, you know, that's not, you didn't like go in that closet and make up a story. I'm going to live this story next. And like, you're writing a book. It just happened. And even, it might've felt like it took like forever, and it might've been like just a flash, the whole entire experience. But you got what you needed to get, and your soul was saying, no, listen, this is what you came here from, all of that experience. Because people, like now he can look back, right? And he can say, all of this stuff was leading up to what I know I'm to do to help other people, right? There was a purpose to it all. And a lot of times people just don't get that even the most awful things in the world have a purpose to them, or they wouldn't be happening. Mm. And so if we can...
That's right.
And if we can ask ourselves the question, like, what is it about this that I'm not seeing? What is good that is going to be the result of this that I'm not seeing? And just let the universe bring you the answers. Don't try to figure it out.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. At the time, I damn sure didn't know. And I really didn't know how to even tell people about it, because, you know, my family back in Missouri, and of course the people I was living with, my son, he was in the same house back then. Sarge Phillip, my younger son, he lived with me. He was 17, 18, 19, something like that. And, 17, you know, I don't want him knowing his pops is walking around putting a gun in his mouth. I'm supposed to be the tough guy, the leader, the guy setting the example. That's why I was saying if I was going to pull my plug, it damn sure wasn't going to be by gun. So, I don't know what happened in there, but I do. There's something I forgot to add, and this is one of the most powerful parts of the story. One of the reasons I was crying so hard when I went in that closet was because I realized what I used to do on Saturdays when I was little. And this was becoming like, this was a Saturday. And I was like, you know what, man, when you was little, dude, you used to watch Foghorn Leghorn and Bugs Bunny. Saturday was your favorite day of the week because they didn't have freaking cartoons 24/7 like they do now.
Yeah.
You remember.
Yeah.
Right. So when I was a kid, trust me, it was not a fun childhood. And my mom, you know, I worked my ass off as a kid. It was not much of a childhood, but we did get a little bit of time on Saturday morning to watch Warner Brothers. And we got, you know, watch those characters run around and blow each other up. And it was fun. And that day I realized, I was like, this is a freaking Saturday, dude. And here you are again with a iron between your teeth that hurts the enamel. It does it stupid, really. Listening to Johnny Cash, nothing, I had nothing to look for. I just felt so low and lost. I really wished I had like a power down button, almost like a computer, just to go ahead, you know, because I considered my first life really, really good up to those points. Like, well, you know what? It was a good one. It really was. And Linda, you're right. The more I look back that, the more there's more mystery surrounds it. I'll never understand it. And some things in life we never will understand. And that's all I can do is be even more grateful for that happening, because if it didn't, no telling how much longer I would have kept doing it. And maybe I would have ended up going through with it. Or actually if it wouldn't have happened, and then Corey, my son, a couple months later, you know, with him dying and all, it might have been just the final blow. Cause it was, I mean, I'm condensing it down for this show, but it's years and years of sweeping stuff under the rug. That's really what it was. It was a culmination of putting things away and not dealing with them, and then no longer believing in myself as a human being. I said, I was something when I was in the military. I'm just simply probably like a lot of vets feel. They don't know what to do when they get out. And I was in upper management in the military, so it's not like I could not get a job. They just, none of them sounded fulfilling, and they pay well and everything. But this is very fulfilling. And, you know, I launched this YouTube channel 12 January of last year, of 2019. So I'm getting ready to, it's 1 year anniversary here in a couple of days. So I'm very happy for, I committed to my mom and my son and veterans and stuff when I launched this channel with my son. I said, I'm just at least do one video a week. That's what I committed to, and go from there. That's it. One video a week. And Linda knows back then I was having trouble talking on camera anyway. If you remember, Linda, I didn't want to do it. And even the very first time I filmed, it's not that I'm uncomfortable speaking in front of people. I've spoken in front of people a lot. But I'll never forget when I put that camera in front of me. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I talked to Linda. Linda helped me out significantly during these challenges. I found her the same way I found almost everything I look for, and that's through Google. And, oh my goodness, I did some work with her. But I think I did two sessions with you, didn't you, Linda? Not sessions, but
for about six months. Yeah.
And what she was teaching me or working with me, and then I traveled the world over the next couple of years on top of that, plus with Linda, that's when I really start seeing this stuff is out there. It's all over the place. It's not like that it's there.
I have to interrupt because for Harold, this is that woo-woo hippie shit, you know?
Yeah.
And they came knocking on his closet.
You're right.
Big time.
It really did come knocking on.
And I want to mention something, because I want you to go into this stuff too, because I love the way he brought up the Saturday afternoon cartoons. Because really, if we could return back to our true nature, that is that magical child, right? That knows the possibilities in all of this. So, like, Harold was given that gift to tap back into that part of himself. And you didn't mention, Harold, how you have extreme energy. And he's like, I have so much energy, I don't know what to do with it, right?
Yeah, especially compared to back then. And it's come a long ways. I've gotten off every single one of those medicines.
Congratulations.
One pill at a time. One, and, you know, they took a long time to get off. You had lots of dry heaving and misery. But, you know, I don't judge anybody that takes them. You got to do what you got to do. But the point I want to get across, what Linda was saying, is that child, that inner child, which I never even know what that word meant until not too long ago, it was in there all along. You know, it was in there all along. And that's what I think about right now. That's why on the mission statement says joyful living. Because you remember when we were kids, we just had fun. We got on the merry-go-round. We played. We were excited to be alive. And we were, if you really stop, I love watching kids, especially around 4, 5, 6 years old. Because if you watch them, they don't even know what's going to happen next, and they're extremely happy. So that's it's before that phase in life where we have to have something coming up to, you know, like living in anticipation. And that's what it was. I was like, it feels so good to connect back. I think that's where a lot of my energy's coming from. I feel like I'm actually getting younger now instead of older. I mean, I feel like I'm getting older, wiser a little bit with some of this hippie stuff like Linda was talking about. But it's really new to me. It really is. And I shunned a lot of it. I had a very mindful wife when I was married. She was light years ahead of me. She'd read Eckhart Tolle and stuff like that, Esther Hicks and stuff like that. And I used to make fun of her. I was just like, I'm not into that hippie shit. I ain't got time for it. And it's funny how things turn around, because now I listen to the same thing on YouTube. And
you know what?
I believe in the law of attraction 100%. And I teach it just like gravity. It's real, the law of attraction.
You know, I want to add, I think that the first time when Harold told me his story, I'm like, oh my God, you got to tell the world this story. Mm. He's like, no, people think I'm crazy. You know, like, I can't tell anybody about that. I'm like, no, you were giving, like, he was giving his new orders, his new mission to do what he's doing right now to help people. And I have to say, Harold, I love watching Harold's YouTube videos because he just really has his own way of being, you know? And I love how Harold originally started with his son, and it was great. And I love Sarge. I miss Sarge on the YouTube channel. but, you know, Harold at first was kind of, you know, watching his language and in some ways being not all that who he is. But now you're just you. And it's like, whatever you're going to say, you're going to say it. And that's what people want, like real authentic, you know, and to share your story. Like, I'm so glad you're sharing it here to such detail, because I don't think I've heard you do that on your YouTube channel yet. But I'd love to see you take this video and share it with your whole community.
Yes, yeah. I will do that for sure. I will do that. It feels really good to be on the light on this side. And that's so when I was having problems talking to the camera, that when I first set it up, I did fine with Philip, my son, but I remember when I did it by myself. What's made it easier for me ever since is simple. I just, everything I'm saying, I'm like, what would a veteran want to hear? What would a military, what would a human being want to hear that's in trouble? And when I look at the camera, I'll never forget the first time it happened and it started flowing. I saw my mom in the camera, my son, and then like a bunch of heads behind the camera, like a sea of heads almost. And now I do that. I try to ground myself before I, speak. I'm pretty sure you guys probably do the same thing, but I get really intense hyper sometimes and it's hard to sit. So things that are hard for me now, whereas before I had a hard time standing up or walking, now I have a hard time staying still. And that's some of the things I was working with Linda, and lots of focusing on meditation. Meditation has been, you know, a lifesaver, but very challenging to me. I'd rather go dig a ditch than sit still for 2 minutes.
I believe you.
Yeah, I would. It's fun, and you get a good workout, right? But you know, it's easy here in Florida. It's just sand.
But you know, meditation could be anything. You know. It's like whatever you can get yourself in that zone that you really are enjoying doing. So I mean, even just sharing your story, you can look at that as a meditation, because I'm sure you feel your energy expanding as you talk about it. Because I know I feel the energy expanding between the three of us.
Yeah, I do. I still get hair and stuff, Stan, because it's weird to me. I mean, that moment, it's hard to describe it, and I hate to say the word liquefied because it sounds gross.
But it's a good word.
That's what I felt like. Yeah, it was. Like I was in jello in the room. Like there was no separation.
Yes.
Probably, it's like it was.
Yeah. That's yeah. It. You were,
but
Harold, you were totally expanded into the everything. Like, you know, there was no like how you said that. See, he doesn't even know these terminologies in this way of thinking in the spiritual community, but it just rolls out of his mouth because it's so natural for him, because he was given this gift in that closet of this awareness. You know, like not everybody could look at a camera and actually see, like, you know, when you say you see your mom, you know, that you're actually, I know you're actually seeing that, right? You're not just saying those words.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, of course I see it, because that's, Because I wish you would have heard those words. You know, my mom, so, you're going to see, I haven't tapped into the nutrition piece yet, but that's going to be a big part of this channel. And I'm not talking about, you know, eat four squares and eat some vegetables and stuff.
Right.
It's going to be a lot more than that. It's more about the chemicals that are in our food, because that's part of my mission. That's why it says fit, is because I could not have gotten to where I am right now today if I just did the mindfulness piece. I really had to flip my nutrition over and, you know, start eating more vegetables than just a can of corn or corn on the cob or something, you know. And so by shift, basically I tell people this all the time now, if they want to start feeling better, stop feeding your head bad shit. It's really, that's what I was doing on a daily basis. Even if you think about the music that I was listening to, that Johnny Cash song, it's grim.
It is.
It's just, you know, it's a great song. It's Hurt. If you ever heard that song, if you listen to the words there, you know, what was I feeding? I was just adding logs to the fire over and over. And there's people out there doing that right now. So one of the first things I say is, anything you could do, you know, shit can the news, try to detox off of that and just start feeding your head good. And that's what I was doing. That's the big thing I did. On YouTube in particular. That's one reason I feel so connected with YouTube. YouTube, in a way, saved my ass, because that I would find people on there all the time. I'm like, somebody just get me through today. And so I think of that now when I look into the camera and see my mom or my son or whatever. I'm thinking of whoever else might just happen to stumble upon my knuckleheaded ass and see, who's this crazy guy, man? What's he yapping his jaws about? And you know what? If that dude, just a regular ass country boy from Missouri, who, like Linda said, he didn't grow up learning shit about this type of stuff. He doesn't really know anything about it, or didn't. It doesn't matter. Anybody can pick up these tools and apply them. In other words, what I've learned over the last 2 years is it doesn't have to be some weird hippie woo-woo shit. And at first, that's what I was thinking. I went down to Costa Rica. I did lots of things. Went out west to Sedona. I just did that again. And every time I see that, you know, it's out there all over the place. It's just not the way I want to funnel it. I've got a funnel in here somewhere. Right here.
There you go.
Right here. I've got this funnel because it's the best way to describe what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's just a 97-cent funnel. I'm taking the best of stuff like Linda's talking about, whoever, LOA stuff, it doesn't matter. The good stuff, simplifying it and just putting it out there in little bite-sized nuggets. And what I'm hoping happens, and it will happen, it's already happening, is that people won't be turned off, like, because I'm not going to be, you know, on there wearing a three-piece suit, you know, trying to act like somebody that I'm not. But basically, I don't really want any of it to be a fucking act. I just want it to be, I just want the point to get across that, guys, it's possible that everything that we've been looking for, because people are looking for something if they're feeling shitty, they're seeking happiness, most likely like I was. They're going to find out eventually that there's nothing to seek. It's right here the whole time.
And
it was right here the whole time. It's just covered up with crap. That's all mine was. So I kept seeking it. And then, you know, other people help me bring it out, but I'm finding more and more, it's an affirmation I do every morning now when I do my walk, I still do, that everything I need is already within me. And that feels really good. And another thing that Linda helped me realize was, I'm not just living life, I'm creating it. That's why it says on the mission statement, empower people to create fun, fit, joyful lives. Because when you realize that you have a little bit more control than you think, you know, it feels good to be empowered. Like, wow, I don't have to be pissed at the VA. I don't have to be, I had a suitcase full of pills, Walt. I didn't know how I was going to get off those. When I traveled, I had a suitcase about this big that I had to have just for my medicine. I was on every pill you can imagine. At one point, even fentanyl, you know, which ain't easy to get off of. And, and that's actually one of the things that killed my son, fentanyl. But the point is this, like Linda was saying, it took something that dramatic to happen, and I'm really grateful that it did, because it has been the pivot point that has led to where I'm sitting.
When you said that, I was getting chills, because I've heard that now many times from many different people. One obvious person that all of our listeners will recognize – came right to my forefront of my mind. One of my co-hosts, he actually has kind of dropped into the background for a bit, but we're hoping we're going to get him back. His name's Joel Elson. And Joel went through, he didn't go through what you went through, but he went through some hell of his own. He was addicted to gambling. He was homeless. He was eating out of a dumpster. He ended up getting arrested, thrown in prison. He went through, you know, a whole series of hells that way. And when he finally ended up in prison, it was like the low point of his life. And he says, well, I would never want to go through that again. That was the best day of my life. And that's what I hear you saying. The fact that you went through what you went through in the closet was the best day of your life. Not that you want to live through it again, but it's where everything sprung from.
That's where everything sprung from. So, yeah, Linda's right. It had to have been divine intervention. I don't know what else it could have been. In other words, I felt like I had a purpose again. And everything since then has been really weird, for lack of a better word. Even the company's name. I remember I was at the beach trying to find the symbol for Whole Energy. Now it's this right here. I don't know if you can see it. It's just E with the sun. So I know that sounds maybe not important, but the energy and everything, all these things came to me. That actually, the now part is more, it doesn't just mean like now. It means kind of the now, like Eckhart Tolle talks about. Like, in other words, everything we need is right here in this moment. And I feel, even when I'm starting to do, like you said, Linda, with the meditation, that it's not just when I set a timer and close my eyes. It can be that gap between my words right there. It could be anything. When I go see a tree outside, if I watch the palms,
I have to interrupt you because I get so excited listening to him. Because look, I got my magic wand out here. Boop, boop. I'm going to get you guys. So Harold, now, see his shirt says Chief Uncut. That's your YouTube channel, right? Chief Uncut.
That's right.
Go check it out. Subscribe to that channel. You're going to just love everything he shares. Now, what I love is that, he does so much hippie shit, but it comes off as like, you know, not so hippie shit, which is great because he can reach, it's just expanding. See how everything always expands, awareness expands. So here we have this gift of Harold who can bring this stuff that I use different words to say to a whole new community who can now hear it because it's not being said in hippie shit words. You know what I mean? Although it is.
That's right. Absolutely. It's exactly what it is. Actually, one of the ways I kind of see it now, because the veterans are just the beginning, the veterans in the DOD, Department of Defense, that's, you know, I have to hone in on a focus. But the one good thing about working with them is I can relate, obviously. I'm so inspired to help them because I know what they're going through, even the family members. So that right there is exactly who I want to help. But I like to almost see it as a blue collar mindful tour. So in other words, that's what I envision someday, is bringing all this stuff down to blue collar level. I mean, that's really what it is if you stop and think about it, right? In other words, it's not just military. There's so many people, they don't even know what these words mean. And it might not sound that way to you because you've been there so long, but I can tell you this much. My mom, God bless her, I love her. She's a simple country girl. But I remember one time when she was getting big, I said, hey mom, you know, if you just do a little bit of yoga, at least, you know, she's already in her 50s or 60s by this point. I was like, at least it'd help you feel good, move around. And she said, she looked at me like this. She's like, you know, like this with her head. I was like, oh my goodness, I got a long ways to go. But just what I'm saying is a lot of folks, veterans included, they hear the words like yoga, mindfulness, meditate, and often they, and I'm not judging them. They did, because they're just where they are right now. And sometimes all it takes is somebody opening a door, maybe just a bit.
I think that's what Linda was alluding to. The fact that you have, because you can talk to them in a different kind of language and one that they're familiar with, you won't necessarily use the same terminology, but you'll get the ideas across in a way that'll be meaningful. And that's the most important thing anyway.
That's all that matters.
It may be focused on vets, but it's anybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who can hear the message the way Harold says it. Because, like, especially when you talk about everything you need is inside of you, I mean, that's total hippie shit. Like, that's total spiritual awakening community stuff. But when Harold says it, it doesn't come off that way, does it?
That's right.
It's just truth. And the other thing is, because it is truth. And so I like what I learned from Access Consciousness and actually in other things too. The truth will always make you feel lighter.
That's
a
true.
Lie will always make you feel heavier. So when you feel heavy and down, it's because you believe all these lies about yourself. They're not true. What's true is who you are inside of you. And it's just about peeling, you know, getting that crap out of the way so that you can actually be that. And Harold's a great guy to help people to rediscover that, to know that they're much more than their circumstances or whatever else. And to maybe even see that those things are actually a gift because they were totally a gift for him. So he can go around and say that all he wants. Who can argue with him? It's total truth.
Absolutely. It is. It feels good to realize. And it's starting to become, you know, I'm still struggling with things, of course, right? It's only been a few years ago. So there's things that I still struggle with. And it just really started happening maybe within the last 6 months. It takes, you know, reinforcement, redoing the path, the neural pathways and stuff. And now when things start popping up, like 2019 was kind of a rough year too. Philip moved out. Lots of other things happened. But I'm taking them better now, and I'm starting to see them as, yeah, I'll get pissed at first. I do got a pretty short fuse. I probably ought to meditate more often. But I'm starting to see it more and more now as, you know what, man, this is good. This is something good happening to you. In other words, I'm experiencing it so I can help others that are experiencing the same thing. So if I struggle with addiction or anything that I just released a video not too long ago saying, I went my first 30 days of freedom without a buzz. Now, if you said I did a hot air balloon to celebrate that, right? I still drink once. So that's a big deal to me. I have not been my adult life. It sounds funny to people because they don't make, but you know what? There's a lot of people out there doing the same thing. So I don't really care how it sounds. My whole life, I've been trying to run from one thing or another. As soon as I was an adult, I hightailed out of Missouri and never looked back. And that's what started this a long time ago. A lot of problems was running and burying it, running it and burying it. So, you know, as far as I am not the only one that has these issues. So it's very simple. There's so many things we can do to connect with being young again. That's actually why this Play-Doh is sitting on my desk. I smell it sometimes. And Play-Doh reminds me of being a child. So anything, a crayon, anything that can remind me of being that little child. I'm talking 4 or 5 years old. Makes me feel really good inside because I know that's still in there. I can feel it. It seems to be getting bigger.
It's funny too because that's something that Linda and I have talked about quite a bit, and I've talked about with my other co-hosts. I do this 5 days a week, Harold, and it's an ongoing theme. How little kids are our greatest inspiration. They have the most teachers of anybody else. Yeah. If you pay attention, you can learn tons from them in a single half-hour period. It's just amazing.
And why do you think that is? It's because that's how we come here. We come here as our true nature. Mm-hmm. And then all this stuff we start agreeing with this outside stuff that the big people tell us, right? Where if we were left to our own devices, we probably would figure it out on our own and really soar. But I want to make a point that it doesn't matter how good you're doing in life. There's always going to be something to come up that makes you expand into more, right? Mm-hmm. We call those things difficulties or hard times or things that we might not think are the greatest thing that's happening. But then a couple of years down the road, like Harold's just pointed out, you look back at it and you're like, wow, thank God for that.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like an obstacle and then it becomes an opportunity. And that's how each one of these things is turning into. So when I'm seeing them now, I'm something else that's new to me is becoming the observer instead of jumping in the canoe and going down creek with this shit. So, yeah, these are things that if I could do it, anybody can do it. And that's the point that I'm trying to get across, that it doesn't require signing up for a $10,000 course. You don't have to go to India and chant for 6 fucking months. Those things you can if you want to, but you can really start as simple as when you brush your teeth in the morning, focus on gratitude for just one thing. And pulling back from the problems. That's why I try, you know, I still find myself, of course, getting caught in thought, you know, and then, you know, the emotions ain't too far after that. But I'm easier now to pull back from it instead of getting to the point to where I want to lay in the closet and feel suicidal. And I think that's what drives me more every morning. I get up every day at 4:22. That's my birthday. I was born on Earth Day 1970. So I get up And it's not like I don't have, I mean, I can do anything I want. I don't have to do anything. I could just go plop on the beach. But I found out a long time, those things weren't doing anything for me. It's still fun to go to the beach, but this is very fulfilling. Everything I do now is driven around kind of that closet, that there's somebody else out there, Harold, that's feeling that way. They might not have a gun in their mouth, but they're feeling, I'm going to tell you how they're feeling. They're feeling like, why was I born? Like you said a while ago, Linda, that's how we were born. We came in all happy. And then, you know, we started putting sticky notes and shit all over. So people were giving us labels, and then we develop our beliefs. And before you know it, what happened? Where did it all go? And then how do I get out? I think that's why I keep the shovel here too. This is a entrenching tool. It reminds me also, you know, when I'm going through rough times and stuff, put the shovel down. Stop digging the hole. Stop making
it reminder.
Deep. So that's what I do. I see little things I set up around the house. I'm like, it's just, it feels good to be alive. And yes, I do have tons of energy. I'm trying to meditate 3 times a day right now just to kind of, not very long.
Well, hey, when I first started, I was lucky if I could do it for 5 seconds. That was a major, major. Yeah, I'm
really?
Serious.
No kid. When did you start?
Not too long ago, actually. I resisted for a long, long time. I would do other stuff. I would do affirmations. I'd do mirror work and so forth. Meditation was a great way to go to sleep. That was about it.
Great way to go to sleep. I liked it. Yeah. Yeah. It's something. And you tell somebody the hardest thing to do is to sit there. And you know, I used to actually punish myself for not meditating right. It sounds that's that military train of thought, like, I didn't do it right, start over, you didn't meet the standard. I'm very standard driven, so I had to take a chill pill, for better lack of a better word, and just, you know what, there's no mistake in meditation. You think, big deal, let it go, and if another one comes, let it go. They're going to keep coming. I've got, you know, monkey mind. It's gonna
actually
happen,
that's
right?
When you know you're doing it right. When the thought comes, you notice that you've just done it right. That's the right thing to do.
You know what? I personally don't like to cancel out every thought, or because a lot of the thoughts that come through when I'm in that expanded space, are great ideas. Like, I've been drawn to do a lot of artwork, I'll see pictures of something. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. You know, so things can come.
Yeah, you don't want to dance for that.
Come in. You might hear something. You know, so it's not always the monkey mind is there, and you're like, okay. I see you. Yeah, thank you. And then continue. But
yeah, it's not always a bad thing.
There's a lot of good stuff that can come through too, that you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just in that space where I can receive it now. But I want to say, because I know we're running out of time, right, Harold?
No, we can go.
Harold. Walt. Harold, how, besides your YouTube channel, Chief Uncut, how can people find you?
Well, they can go to wholeenergynow.com. I'm getting ready to revamp that site because I'm doing less coaching one-on-one and doing more just group stuff or YouTube stuff. So wholeenergynow.com, or on Facebook, Whole Energy Now or Chief Uncut. You'll always see both words together, Chief Uncut and Whole Energy Now. Chief Uncut's where I'm starting. The Whole Energy Now is the back end. You'll hear more about that later. But thank you. Thank you a lot for having me on my show, on your show. I really appreciate it. I guess it's my show now. You called it.
Absolutely.
You know what?
Well, Walt, we didn't want to tell you on air. But,
also, I want to remind people to on Harold's channel, if you go back a ways, like to the beginning of when it started, he did videos with his son. I love his son. And they had such great messages. Sometimes they do these little skits. They'd have their own little Saturday afternoon kind of things in their videos.
Yeah,
so it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. When I see up, that's right. When we say fun, it's kind of a secret acronym, because the Army's full of acronyms. We even call cars POVs, personal, privately owned vehicles. Everything in the Army's an acronym. But fun was a secret acronym actually to it. It means forward and up now. And that's what I want to keep people, you know, focused on. Not going backwards, just being where you're at and going forward and up and realizing that right now is all we have. And then no matter what's happening, like you said, Linda, it's a really great day when you realize that those things are happening to you for a reason. And you're never going to get biceps curling. you got to put some weight in there in order to get the muscle. And it's the same way in life. You just simply can't grow if you don't go through these things. So I'm glad I got another chance, and I'm going to do my best for the rest of my life, just to keep paying
That's
it forward.
Fabulous. That's good stuff. I also want to really make sure I mention this. You described very eloquently how at that point in time where you were at your lowest point, you had this event happen and so forth, up until then, days up to that, you were in constant pain. Everything hurt. Nothing felt good. There was no joy. You couldn't remember what joy was. And then you also really nicely described how even when you tried to feel joy, you couldn't really get there. But you just kept going anyway. And look where you are today. I mean, it's only a year or two later, and you know, all of a sudden, you've just reached this point. Like, it almost exploded out of nothing. But it's a great reminder.
Yeah, it really did. It's like the Big Bang. It's just bam. You know, and it... And I thought for a while that it would simmer down, but it's actually kind of speeding
yeah,
up.
It does that.
And so it's not, it's, yeah, it is. It feels great. And, but yeah.
I've been liking telling people that I think of 2020 as the year of clarity. And I think you've brought a tremendous amount of clarity to us. So I want to thank you for that. Your clarity has been great.
Well, thanks for having me on, bud. I appreciate it.
By the way, I want to remind people that if you're not yet subscribing, this is what you get when you subscribe. You get good stuff, and it's different every single day. Most people know how to do it, but if you don't know how to subscribe, just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and at the top you'll see right there instructions. Just click, 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 and you're done. And you can also check us out on video. You can actually see Chief Harold on video for this show just by going to YouTube. Do a search for LOA Today podcast videos. We'll pop right up there. And check out his, too. Check out his site, Chief Uncut. Got to find out what those videos are going on there.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah.
That's right.
Thank you very much for joining us, Harold. We really appreciate it. And thanks for the story. I mean, this is the kind of thing that helps other people feel better. Like, wow, if he went through that, geez, I could do this, too.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Just sharing it. It's not easy to talk about, but it's still weird to me. But
hey, I've been doing this for 7.5 years. It's still weird to me, let me tell you. I mean, it's more familiar now than it was, but you described what it was like that first day when you looked in your camera. I did it the first day without a camera. It was just into a microphone, knowing that I was talking at that point in time to one other person, my wife, the person I was doing it with. That was it. There was no other audience, you know? And here I am 7.5 years later. We got, we're averaging like 500 listeners a show and so forth. And it's amazing how
great.
It grows.
Hey, yeah, man, that's good. That's good, man. I'm glad you're doing this. Oh. That's awesome. I was watching your channel. I was watching your stuff before I got on here anyway a few weeks ago. Because I've seen some of the stuff Linda's seen anyway. But I appreciate what you guys are doing, too. I mean, all of us spreading light, you know, you just can't go wrong.
Doing See that? Right. That's total hippie shit. Spreading light. I love it.
Total hippie shit. That's right.
Harold, I love you. I mean, from the first time I met him, I was like, wow, this guy, he doesn't even know what he's tapping into yet, you know? Yeah.
I just know it feels great.
And that's all you have to know, because really that's good. Really it right there, isn't it? It just has to feel great, and when it feels great, it just keeps going. It's wonderful.
That's it, bud.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks, Linda, for bringing Harold along. We appreciate that as well. And thanks to our podcast listeners, too. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.